Is it just me? Or is there something weird about this thing?
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Dawson's Creek. Today's episode is Season 6, Episode 8, Spiderwebs. And now, your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hi, Tara and Dave.
Hi.
Hello, listeners. Before we get into this extremely aughts-coded theme episode.
Oh, really? Is No Doubt involved?
No Doubt. No Doubt. They are.
Really? I knew a thing.
Yeah. There is no Again With This this week because July has 5 Fridays, but next Friday, August 7th, it's Again With This 298. Can you believe it? Let's watch Tiffany Thiessen, Willie Garson, Hilary Burton, Cliff Bemis, and Hal Ojan in White Collar. That is season 3, episode 15, Stealing Home. It is on Hulu if you would like to watch along. And spoiler, you would.
Mm-hmm.
It actually stole our hearts a little bit, this episode, returning to Blue Sky territory with this Star and Creek verse packed episode.
Yeah.
You can join us at againwiththispodcast.com/club if you haven't already, and we really hope that you will.
We really do. Let's get into this episode, which just has really the one storyline that is impossible to untangle because everyone's involved. No doubt about it, this concert sure is full of hijinks. At Hell's Kitchen, Jen, with Jack and David, is catching up both new viewers and Dawson. Casey and Audrey broke up, but Joey and Audrey are fighting. Jack doesn't agree with Jen's characterization, and clip two.
It's more like they're keeping their distance from each other.
Thank you.
No problem.
Be a bitch about it, Dawson. Like, apparently you've been blowing everyone off, so yes, the new guy knows more than you do. Fucking deal with it. It's...
Yeah, and then he and Joey are all, like, weird balls again now?
Yes.
Why?
Well, yes. So, Jen thinks that if they just ended up in the same place, they could work it out. Dawson thinks she means Joey and Audrey, but she means Audrey and Pacey. Another person who probably isn't speaking to Audrey right now, Emma, who seems harried as she delivers everyone's orders and then huffs at Dawson when he says he's not ordering anything because he's leaving. Jack assumes that he's trying to avoid Joey, saying she's not working tonight, but he says Todd thinks he's running an errand, which he technically is, handing Jen an envelope containing tickets to a No Doubt show. Jen can't believe he's just giving away like 10 tickets, but Dawson says Todd got them for free because he knows the band or something. Sure. I mean, mm-hmm. I guess it's plausible. Okay.
Yeah.
Jack tells Jen to stop trying to talk Dawson out of giving them to him, and Dawson heads out, of course, running into Joey at the door on her way in, predicting what she's about to ask and saying their friends are inside. Joey and Dawson are, as Sarah said, very awkward with each other, stiffly asking how they've been. Dawson brings up Joey's fight with Audrey, and she mumbles that people do fight. Dawson doesn't want to keep her, but Joey says they're his friends too. He should stay, but he has to go, and they lie that it was nice seeing each other. It quite clearly was not.
Follow Dawson. Mm-hmm. I don't want to spend any more time with Joey.
No. After the credits, we are back at Hell's Kitchen a different day. Joey's trying to get Eddie excited about coming to the No Doubt show with everyone, even though she knows Wooster, as it is pronounced, is a schlep. Also, this would be the first date she forced him into having at the end of the previous episode, and he's not that psyched about spending it driving her an hour to Wooster to meet up with all her friends. He doesn't say this part, but given how shitty Audrey was to him at this point hours ago, I don't know why he would agree to hang out with her socially, even if they're at like opposite ends of the seating block. Like, pass.
Yeah. Also, a concert is not a date.
No, it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
He also doesn't get how Joey's description is even a date, to Sarah's point. All Joey can offer is the vague hope of a goodnight kiss. Eddie points out that he's already gotten two kisses, so that's not much of an incentive. In that case, he could walk Joey to her door, shake her hand, and get reimbursed for gas money, she says. And somehow, he's in, and she smiles smugly and annoyingly, because that's what she does in season 6, unfortunately, for us all.
Yeah.
On the movie set, Todd asks what feels weird. Dawson guesses it's that they've finished all their work for the day and are now paying the crew to stand around until it's dark enough for the night shots they have planned. I guess Dawson's really whipped Todd into shape since his first week shooting that was so behind. Heather had to descend on the production and tell him to get their shit together.
Yeah. And you got him to quit smoking?
Right.
Promote this kid. Jeez.
Dawson suggests that Todd just knock off early, do the night shots next week, save the production money for now, and be a hero, admitting that if Todd calls it 4 hours and 35 minutes early, Dawson will win the pool. Todd figures out that Dawson's only fronting like a friend to the crew because he wants to take Natasha to the No Doubt show. Dawson offers to split the pool money with him, but Todd already won $500 in the When Will Dawson and Natasha Start Shagging Again pool, so he's good, and he gives Dawson his own tickets, which are much better than the ones that Dawson already gave Jen, and backstage passes besides. Dawson can't believe Todd doesn't want to use the tickets himself, but Todd is old and tired, and if he's going to have a surprise 4 hours and 35 minutes, he wants to spend it sleeping. Real!
Todd for president!
So real!
It's so real.
But Todd does a combination eyebrow pop slash wink as he tells Dawson to go get him. And then we go over to a record store. The camera is lingering on a shot of No Doubt's new album, and Jen is hard selling Audrey on coming to the show. If No Doubt can still perform together with all of their past romantic entanglements, surely it's no big deal for Audrey to attend in a big group with her ex. Audrey grumbles that there is something kind of fitting about that. She supposes Mojo Jojo is also going with that guy, and Jen says the two of them don't have to sit near the two of the other two. They can use the gaze as a barrier between the breeders and the bitter single girls. When Audrey asks if Joey and Eddie are dating now, Jen teases her for wanting the gossip, but Audrey claims she doesn't. She'd just like to know about some flaw in Joey's armor of perfection. Like, has she ever made a mistake in her life? Same one Audrey did, Jen says, dumping Pacey. Audrey heard that he had dumped her, and Jen says what matters is they stayed friends, just like Jen and Audrey are. And Audrey finally agrees to go, and Jen's so excited following her up to the cache that she bumps into a guy who turns out to be CJ. When he comments on Jen's mood, she says they're going to the No Doubt show tonight, and then says they don't have to talk about the thing that didn't happen, and it doesn't have to be weird if he comes with a group, not like a date. Audrey scowls behind him as CJ assures Jen he didn't think it was a date, so he takes a ticket, and when Jen has wandered off, clip three.
So, are you ever going to call me back?
I think that the answer to that would be fairly obvious.
You know, we didn't do anything wrong.
No, of course not. We were great, you know, and we'll probably win some sort of award for moral fortitude and the proper use of birth control.
I don't see what the big deal is here. It's not like she's my girlfriend.
Okay? Yeah, well, neither am I. I'm an idiot.
Oh, so what, you're just gonna pretend like nothing ever happened?
Yes. And unless you want me to kill you, you will too.
What? I'm so confused.
I mean... Okay, so, you know, who fucked David?
Sure, they did. Off screen.
Fine.
Sure.
The way he's written, he is so weird.
Yes.
Like, derogatory. Like, this is just 13th stepping. I don't care for it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also the fact that he, even though this is not Jensen Ackles' best or most nuanced performance, he is acting so twitchy around Audrey that how is Jen not cluing in that something is going on?
Mm-hmm.
She just does not want to see.
Right.
That he is really weird and not into her, and she should not be into anything to do with him. Mm-hmm. Like, I know everyone's 20, but what do the writers think we think of him?
Mm-hmm. But also, like, none of his motivations make any sense at all, because he's yawed from telling Jen it's not that he's not interested in her, it's that he doesn't date, which is where I got to the he's going to be a surprise priest reveal, obviously not
right.
the case, or at least not yet, to him being the only one who can tell that Audrey is like in a rolling crisis state. So you would think for no other reason than that, he would be like, maybe this is not a person I should have sex with now in his capacity as a peer counselor. Someone who is like not just giving people advice, but like lording it over Jen, how much more evolved he is because he is in the stand or whatever. And then if he decided to ignore the I don't date policy and the I shouldn't have sex with this girl at this moment in her life thing, which was correct. I mean, his assessment of her was correct. His response was not. Then it doesn't make sense on top of that for him to be the one who's like trying to be clingy with her. Like, oh, why do you call me? Like, what? Like, if that's what happened, it seems more likely that he would just be like, oops, never mind. You know,
we're all human, but this shouldn't have happened and can't happen again. Mm-hmm. And then in his capacity as a peer counselor, if he had called her multiple times and gotten no response, what would you tell someone else about what that means?
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
It's all... I mean, it's just bad writing that wasn't thought through. I get it. But, oh, God. Like, no. Write him off, please.
Yeah.
Literally.
It's very chess pieces being arranged when in reality, the more likely result of this hookup would be both of them trying to pretend it hadn't happened.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I guess that's not dramatically interesting. So someone has to be clingy in. It's him, unfortunately for him. Then we're at the show. Everyone's lining up to get in. Eddie is dressed like Marty McFly. He's got a like a red puffer vest over his jean jacket. You can see this in the visual aids.
He's standing
behind Joey, and he's about to slide his arms around her waist when she complains about how disgusting other people's PDA is, and he stops. And what sets her off, by the way, is the guy in front of her giving his date the like tiniest peck on the lips. Like, this would be an acceptable kiss between siblings, and yet Joey's like, ugh, well, good luck, Eddie. This is what you've picked. At the front of the line, Joey says she has their tickets. Of course she does. She remembers putting them in her coat pocket, then realizes she wore a different coat, and someone should tell Audrey this story, because between this and her chronic lateness, Joey is far from perfect. Quite the opposite, in fact. She's fucking up a lot in season six.
Yeah. I mean, also remember how many coats she has when she's freaking out about how a D is going to get her kicked out of school in a couple episodes.
Uh-huh. Eddie says they can go back for the tickets, but it'll take them an hour just to walk back to the car. And by the time they go all the way to Worthington and back, the show will be over. Nowhere in all of this is, I'm so sorry, my bonehead move ruined your night, particularly since she was the one who A, made such a big deal out of going on a date with Eddie, and then also B, pre-fucked it by making it a group date. Like, she should be a lot more sorry than she is.
Yeah, agree.
Instead, she just stands there staring at him, looking miserable, like, take that face to a mirror, stupid. Also, Jen said the envelope Dawson gave her had 10 tickets in it, and she probably hasn't distributed them all since she does not know that many people. Like, everyone she knows is here. So just call Jen and see if she has any extra tickets left. But none of that happens. Eddie asks if Joey really wants to go, and she says this, clip four.
Yes, I'm a dorky fan. I admit it, but I love this band.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
Joey or Katie Holmes really loves this band.
No. And that line delivery was wretched.
Yeah, it was.
Yes, I'm a dorky fan. I admit it, but different strokes. Like, but I know it's deep in season six, but someone please care about the work product. Someone besides Hal Ojan and Dawson, for God's sake.
For God's sake.
Why is this the most, like, lovable winning section of the show?
It's crazy to think about.
Yeah.
Anyway, Eddie's convinced and states that they're going. So what's weird is we haven't actually heard No Doubt yet at all. This is the song that's playing under all that business with the line, clip five.
Are you guys going or what?
Well, yes. So we linked it in the show notes to Tune Find. All of the songs in this episode that are not No Doubt. Like, you would think if they paid to get this far, every needle drop would be a different No Doubt song, and yet it's not.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, no. Dawson's being both the anti-Joey, making out with Natasha, holding up the line, and Joey, the moron who can't navigate concert attendance or apologize for it. The ticket taker has to tell him once he has brought R for Saturday, which this is not. Dawson complains that Todd probably thinks today is Saturday. Natasha says they still have the backstage passes, but Dawson says they're no good without the tickets. She tells him she has special skills, which they're called boobs, Ed.
Mm-hmm.
In yet another part of the arena, Jen's arriving with Pacey, relieved that he did not come wearing a suit, and reminding him of David's name, saying she thinks he's going to stick, Jack-wise. And as they approach their door, Jen warns Pacey that when he gets to his seat, there will be someone there who wants to talk to him. Pacey's like, you didn't. But Jen says in a few years, he will look back on this, thankful that she helped him do the mature thing. And then we hear this, clip six.
Supergirl lives a double life. Then she wants a husband instead of a wife. Doctor sends a phone booth to change her clothes, so mama will see the ring in her nose. Change her persona and change her name.
Just included that since we're in, as we're recording this on July 21st, still sort of at the end of Supergirl, the new movie discourse, where some viewers are interpreting the character's ways as being sort of queer coded, and poor Millie Alcock having to give interviews where she's like, I think queer people are great, without taking a side either way, because we live in hell. Anyway.
Yeah.
Also, it's not, no doubt, some more. And, of course, Audrey's sitting alone in the row, muttering surprise when Pacey enters. He says he did call her. She knows. She thought she should wait to talk to him until she hated him a little less, though now she kind of hates herself. He asks to go somewhere quieter to talk before all of the madness starts, and she fondly says he really is an old man. And he's like, yep, and they go. And at another entrance in the guts of the arena, Joey uselessly hangs back. Eddie tells the guy at the door he's really not a deranged fan trying to sneak backstage. He just needs to talk to someone. If that someone's not the guy in the guy on the door doesn't care and gets rid of them. And when they're alone, Joey says they can stop this anytime. But it's going so well, says Eddie. Also a contender for intro clip, by the way. Joey says he doesn't have to go to extreme lengths to impress her, adding clip seven.
This whole thing is my fault anyway.
Ah, well, not an apology,
word?
But that's true.
Yeah, jeez.
Eddie says that if this works, she definitely won't be impressed, which, spoiler, wrong. What he does pull off is pretty cool. But when he sees other people coming and heads toward them, Joey pulls him away to hide behind some equipment cases because it's Natasha and Dawson going to attempt their scheme. Natasha unbuttons her shirt and tells Dawson it might work better if he asks, like, her brother. In their hiding place, Eddie confirms who Dawson is and that he's the guy who got Joey the tickets, but they're hiding from him. Joey tells him to trust her intuition. Natasha's cleavage does get her and Dawson further than whatever Eddie's trying to do. Into the outer rim of backstage as the door guy continues sneaking peeks at her boobs and she leans over his clipboard. Everyone is so intent on sorting this out that no one notices Eddie and Joey slipping in behind them and quietly walking through, I guess because we're supposed to believe the outer door is not kept locked to keep people exactly like the two of them from entering. But Natasha's boobs do not triumph and she and Dawson are hustled out. And then approaching a concession together, CJ tells Jen he didn't realize Audrey had a boyfriend. Jen tries to explain the complex situation and how she thinks it's feeding Audrey's erratic behavior lately. And CJ, who has parted his hair in a more rock and roll way for the occasion, you can see this in the visual aids, just thought Audrey seemed single because of that night at the party. And Jen generously says Audrey just got confused, then comments that for two people who aren't dating, she and CJ sure end up alone together a lot. CJ wants to talk about that because he thinks Jen has the wrong idea about him. Jen says his refusal to kiss her was actually quite clear. CJ doesn't want Jen to feel like he's playing games with her and finally admits the issue is that he's interested in someone else. Jen pouts that it's not that he doesn't date, he just didn't want to date her. Clip 8.
No, Jen, I meant all that. I did. I'm not ready to be serious with somebody yet. This other girl, it kind of took me by surprise. It just kind of happened. I mean, we were at the wrong place at the wrong time. Things escalated.
Did you sleep with this girl? Wow, so sleeping with people doesn't violate your moral code, but dating them does.
Jen, let me explain something to you.
Okay? No, you have really well, too. And for future reference, when things escalate with a girl, that generally means that she's interested in you.
Yeah, except when she's kind of messed up, already has a boyfriend. Jen, I think you're great. I think you're a great person. You're obviously a very good friend to Audrey, to everybody.
What does Audrey have? Oh, my God. It was Audrey. You slept with Audrey.
It's not what you think, right? She...
No, it's kind of nailed it, buddy. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, oh my God, let this be the last time Jen walks away from him looking sad.
Yes.
He's enough already.
He's not worth it. Like,
no.
I just don't buy Jen would be so hung up on this guy.
Mm-mm. No.
Then we're watching Pacey and Audrey coming down an escalator. He has just bought her a concert shirt, which he says is the least he could do after being such a swine, which, by the way, some high-level manipulation, putting her in the position of absolving him for being shitty. Like, did you learn that from Rinaldi? But
yeah,
she does. He wasn't a swine. He was just a guy, she says. Pacey hoped he could get judged on a different scale, like the one for human beings. She wearily says it's not his responsibility to make her happy. It's hers. And Pacey points out that she hasn't been lately. Audrey admits she misses him, and he smiles, saying he misses her too, and gives her a hug. And as he lets Audrey go, Pacey says he doesn't know how much more he can take of her being down on herself. He'll have to make her feel better by force if necessary, which apparently means tickling. She forbids him from roughhousing in public, then realizes she doesn't know how to get back to their seats. So fortunately, that's when Jen comes out. Pacey asks if the show is starting because he doesn't want to miss a minute of... Audrey reminds him that the band name is on the t-shirt he just bought. Jen asks Pacey for a minute with Audrey. He very wisely gets out of their way, and when he's gone, clip 9.
I just wanted to tell you that I know about what happened with you and CJ. Jen, I didn't know that you liked him so much. Like, I thought that you did, but I don't want to talk about this. I just wanted to let you know that I know. Jen, no, seriously, wait, let's do talk about it. I don't know, yell at me, do something. I deserve it. It was a mistake. I'm sorry, it was a big mistake. Yeah, it was a mistake. So, then yell at me. I don't want to yell at you. I don't have it in me to yell at you. You know, I've been holding back lately because I actually had some sympathy for you. I thought, Audrey, she's just confused, she just messed up, but... You're not. You're just sad.
That's the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, if you expect us to be on Jen's side, the writing is not doing a good job.
No.
Making us feel a certain way about Audrey. Like, spoiler, this downward curly Q is, we used to call it on the Dawson's rap boards about Jennifer back in season 2. This continues for Audrey, but again, here the writing is not doing a great job making this feel like she's approaching rock bottom or that this is anything necessarily like hugely beyond the pale for a college student who is upset and heartbroken. I would like better for Jen, and I would like her to do better.
I agree.
And blame CJ, because that's whose fault this is. Or Joey. Just blame her. I know she's not involved, but fuck her.
It's also hard when you know what good friends Busy Phillips and Michelle Williams are off screen to, like, see them in a fight over, like, him.
Yeah. No. Over Soldier Boy?
Seriously. No. But seriously.
But seriously, though.
So then it's the best part of the episode, no doubt taking up so much time opening the show with Hella
MVP.
Good. This is obviously real concert footage. The band sounds great. It's shot very well. I can't imagine this isn't all cut out of the streaming versions, but I don't know. You tell us. We get 3 full songs and I was not mad about it. But
no, me neither. Eating clock.
If you fired up the episode and were like, why is this 32 minutes long? That's why. So we see a few shots of our stars in the crowd hopping up and down and so forth. There's no mouthing along with any lyrics for obvious reasons, but for less obvious reasons, we see Pacey with Emma. No sign of Audrey after that confrontation with Jen, though. And then we're back in the deep hallways of the arena with Eddie and Joey. She says they might as well just admit their loss, but Eddie says they're not. Can't she just trust him? She says he has yet to do anything to demonstrate he's trustworthy. I mean, he drove you there. And he teases her about her trust issues as though he is not also riddled with them. They are learning a lot about each other tonight, he says. And she shoots back that he's learning things about her. He tells her to wait a minute. She claims to be scared of a Freddy Krueger attack if he leaves her alone, but Eddie says she'll just have to trust him, and she makes a big face. And then he lets himself into the autofill room. I assume that's where they fill out all the forms online. Just kidding. Joey follows and sees through the glass in the door as Eddie talks to one of the guys in there, and the guy nods, and then Joey tries to rush back to her spot as Eddie and this guy both come out. The guy asks if they're ready to go, but first Eddie introduces his dad, and Joey's delighted to learn one thing about Eddie and to shake Eddie Sr.'s hand. He seems more reticent about her, which tells me he is a superb judge of character, but fine. Then we're outside as Natasha asks Dawson how scalping is supposed to work. Dawson figured if he just stood there holding $600 in cash, someone would appear and offer him tickets. Natasha's cold and pulls him deeper into the parking lot, asking where he got all that cash. He dodges and she figures out he fixed the pool. She hops up on the trunk of a random car, undoubtedly ruining her winter white sweater coat in the process, and tells Dawson he had the right idea, suggesting they just bail. Is she coming on to him or is she just cold? She says both, plus dating is for schmucks. What they're doing, sneaking around at work, is much more fun. He says they're not fooling anyone, but she chirps that they're fooling themselves and starts to kiss him just as the score does this. Clip 10.
What makes it all so incredibly dangerous and sexy and fun.
This feels like it should be playing over something happening at Dylan's house. It's very 90210. That
for
score.
Sure. Like him finding some sketchy paperwork involving the scamily.
Oh, yes.
Totally.
Yes. So they continue making out as Natasha lies back, and then she hears a horse. And sure enough, there is a mounted cop asking what their business is. Since Dawson did not put the cash in his pocket even when he was getting to second with Natasha and is continuing to gesticulate with it, the cop assumes Dawson's either trying to buy tickets or just sold some, and Natasha decides to help. Clip 11.
No, yeah, I do, but it's not for that. It's for the...
Me. It's for me. He was trying to short me, and I told him, no way, no way am I going to do you in this parking lot for a penny less than $600.
This is some kind of game to you, miss?
No, it's not. That's not what you... I can explain this. Really, you can.
And you will, at the station. I need a check by in the southwest corner, over.
You're arresting us?
No, I'm taking you with me. She says one more word, I'm arresting you.
Cool. Let's go.
Bye, Lacey.
I love her.
I love her, too.
Yeah.
Then it's just straight up two verses and two choruses of underneath it all. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And when the band gets to the bridge, we cut to CJ anxiously staking out the ladies' room. When Audrey comes out, clip 12.
Go away.
I need to talk to you.
Well, I don't want to talk to you. Don't you get that? It was a mistake, a gigantic mistake.
Why didn't you tell me you had a boyfriend?
Just leave him out of this, okay?
No, come here.
CJ.
Come here.
Tom.
Yeah, well, he's in this, whether you like it or not.
No, you know what? He's not. He has nothing to do with it.
Okay, and the reason you came home with me the other night is because you're so overwhelmingly happy with him. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to mess with your head here. I like you, Audrey, and you're the only reason I came here tonight.
Well, then I guess that was your first mistake.
I know things are complicated, but you gotta understand that I haven't felt like this towards someone in a long time.
No, it's been a long time since you had sex. And you're incredibly grateful because you're incredibly messed up, which should have been obvious from the second Jen met you, because generally, people who are into helping other people are about 10,000 times more messed up than the people they're helping.
You know what? You're probably right. But that doesn't change the fact that I like you.
You've got to stop this! I am sure that under there somewhere there is a nice guy and you are obviously just trying to help me out, but what happened between us, it's the way that the world works! Okay, pretty much all the time, girls run around and feel bad about themselves. They're either too weak or too stupid to go home alone. So sometimes guys just win the lottery. That's it. It doesn't mean anything.
Oof, nailed it.
Yup.
Also, stop following her around and arm grabbing her like you're a 90210, dick.
Yeah.
She said she's not interested. Beat
Did you like it when Jen was constantly hitting on you after you said you weren't interested? No. So consider what it's like with the shoe on the other foot. Anyway.
Yeah. Also, you don't even know her. Like, I really like you. You've known her, what, 7 hours?
Yeah.
Fuck off.
You've had 3 conversations and 2 of them were in this episode. Mm-hmm. Inside the arena, Pacey looks around, notices Audrey's not there, and comes out to the concourse or whatever to find her in what is obviously an intense conversation with CJ, clip 13.
You guys having a problem out here?
No. We barely know each other.
Yeah, right.
Excuse me?
Nothing. I just think if you took care of your girlfriend a little bit better.
If I did what?
Nothing. He said nothing. Go away, CJ.
You really want me to leave you alone with this guy that makes you so miserable?
Yes. Now.
Is this a joke? Did he really just say that to me?
CJ, please, if what you said was true about me, about the other night, then you would just leave, walk away.
Wait, what about the other
night? And if I don't?
CJ, leave now!
You really think you're gonna be happier with him than you obviously were with me?
Well, you know.
You've known her for 7 hours.
Yeah.
Fuck off. Also, writers, fuck off. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Sincerely.
The problem is, it's very obvious that this is what Pacey would do. Like, it's in character for him to react this way.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make it less annoying, though. Like,
no.
CJ, you just got here. We don't care what you do.
No, we don't.
Anyway, they start grappling. Audrey is, must be said, not really being that forceful, yelling at them to stop until a couple of security guys show up and drag them off to Wooster Centrum Center Jail. This has been known as the DCU Center and Convention Center since 2004, home to the Wooster Railers of the ECHL and sometimes preseason Celtics games. That's right. I did research about this arena. No one cares, but I was curious.
You had 3 whole songs to pass the time during. Why not?
Thank you. Yes. No Doubt is then bringing us Magics in the Makeup for ages, watching from way up in the rafters in a very obvious green screen shot. Joey, you can see this in the visual aids, too.
They look like color forms.
They really
do. It's very bad.
Joey tells Eddie his dad seems nice. Eddie manages not to say, "I went to a lot of trouble to get us in. Please shut up and watch the band you claim you love." But what he actually says is not much warmer, that his dad said 4 words to her and thinks her name is Josie. LOL. Joey doesn't care. Eddie says his dad is nice, a hard worker, doesn't cheat on his mom, solid, steady, always around. Joey cracks that he sounds like the second coming, and Eddie says he's not very encouraging or into higher education. Joey guesses he is why Eddie didn't go to college, but Eddie says he did for 1 semester. Clip 14.
Things have to happen to you at the exact right time in your life. Are they meaningless?
Meaningless.
Yeah. Like this. Like right now. I mean, this could have happened yesterday and been meaningless. But it's not. Is it?
It kind of is.
Yeah, you know.
I don't know what you're talking about. So, yes, it's meaningless gibberish. You guys have no chemistry. Unbelievable that you like Joey, because it's not believable anyone would like Joey. She is terrible in season 6.
Yeah.
So much talking. So much talking.
Yeah. Whatever that was means something to Joey, who agrees with him about whatever that was. And then in the parking lot, Emma's yelling at Pacey for getting us kicked out, then saying when he tells her she can go right back in that she doesn't want to increase the odds that any other members of their party are going to have sex or get in a fight. Clip 15.
You don't think I had the right to punch that guy?
She's not your girlfriend anymore, mate. Not that it would make it okay, even if she were.
He took advantage of her. He saw that she was messed up and he preyed on her, which in my books makes him 1 notch below pond scum.
Right, right. Must be that, because women are such helpless idiots they couldn't possibly make an informed decision about who they sleep with, could they?
I mean, you know, I hear where she's coming from, but Emma also saw Audrey at their last show. Like, did she seem that she was in a fit state to make any decisions? Because even if they were supposed to show us her, you know, when she was talking to CJ outside with a cigarette, was supposed to be like, well, I sobered up after I puked. But right. I don't know. I don't know how sobered up she was. honestly.
Yeah, I think she probably was sober enough.
Mm-hmm.
But he, of all people, as a peer counselor, should know that gray area is like 98% of college interpersonal problems and felonies. So,
mm-hmm.
And Emma working at a bar and being in a band as a girl should, like, yeah, okay, sure. Women have choices and don't need white knighting necessarily, mm-hmm. but in this situation...
Even if what he did was not to a criminal degree, I don't think that she was in a good place to make decisions that she would not regret later. And the evidence is she clearly regrets it now. So,
yeah. And again, technically, this is not that because they didn't meet in this environment. But this is why 13 stepping is not it. Because it's at an extremely vulnerable time. One addiction may be being replaced with another preoccupation. It's just not done.
When Pacey yells at Emma that this isn't Audrey and he can't imagine why she slept with CJ, we get this clip 16.
Is it so difficult for you just to admit that she hurts you? Or that you might feel a little guilty about the way things ended? Or that possibly, despite all your protestations to the contrary, that you still want to save this girl?
Of course it's difficult.
Yeah.
We're not going to remember any of this in the next episode, so who cares?
Yeah, I guess.
Somewhere in the covered lot, Jen is holding ice to CJ's cheek and saying he's lucky she's even talking to him right now. Clip 17.
This is bringing you a great deal of satisfaction, isn't it?
No, actually it's not.
Well, you're not thinking to yourself right now that I deserve this?
No. You and Andrea are both adults. And I'm not going to sit here and apply some ridiculous double standard to the situation just because my feelings got a little bit hurt.
I'm sorry about that. I wish I hadn't happened.
Yeah, I know. You know, all that stuff that you've been saying is finally starting to sink in. All that stuff that you've been telling me about yourself. And I guess that if it's true, then it probably really sucks to be you right now, because no matter how nominally together you think you are, if your fondest desire is to start hanging out with Audrey, then chances are it's not going to stay that way. And you know what? If I ever got it into my head to do what you do, you know, to help people, I would be a hell of a lot better at it than you are.
Well said.
Ew. Whatever.
Well.
Like, yeah, he sucks and fine, kiss him off. But why is Audrey fucking taking strays again from you?
Yeah. Good point. One level down, Jack is checking that David really doesn't mind driving Audrey home. David's like, well, I mind, but my inner drama queen does respect her refusal to come out of the bathroom until Pacey and Emma have gone. Jack just doesn't want to ditch Jen since the night didn't go the way she thought it would. David knows the feeling, he says pointedly. Jack sheepishly says they haven't been doing so great. David says the hanging out part's been good, just not the dating. He doesn't think two gay guys should leave a night out each with a different blonde. And I hope CJ drove himself, because none of the other cars is going to want to take his ass anywhere after what just went down. You're saying. And then we're outside the Worcester police station watching Dawson piggyback Natasha down the stairs as she spurs him to outrun the cop who brought them in. Dawson can't believe she still isn't taking this seriously, but Natasha says they only got a warning. Dawson gasps that the cops gave the two of them one phone call, and Natasha says they were having fun, kind of like this whole night has been fun. Dawson tries to keep a stern face, but admits she's right, adding that he's starting to think she's insane. Clip 18.
You haven't ever gone out with an insane person before?
No, I have, which is not in a good way.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know who the writers thought he was referring to.
Well,
Eve, maybe?
That's what I... Yes, I made a list. Who he's gone out with is Jen, Joey, Joey again, Eve, and then a million question marks if we count that as going out. Gretchen, Jen again, Natasha, Joey again for a second, and then Natasha some more. So I guess it's either Eve.
Oh, wait.
Or...
And the film critic that he had the like Megaday bonathon with.
Yes.
But she wasn't crazy. Just her judgment is somewhat suspect, but.
They also didn't really go out. They kind of went in.
No, they like famously. Literally never got outside.
<That's right. laughs> Anyway, they're making out, and then clip 19.
Okay, Shagwits. To the car. Let's go. Chop, bloody chop. Or am I going to have to throw cold water on you both?
I think he's mad.
Real mad.
For the record, never let it be said that Todd Carr is a man who's not in love with being in love. I think both my movies and my life reflect my deep and abiding commitment to getting two good-looking young people together and having a bit of fun now and again. However, as Leary here bloody well knows,
you're also a man who's in love with sleep.
To the car.
Now.
Todd, please
spin them all off.
Please.
At least someone's having fun on the show. Oh.
Todd is also in sunglasses in the middle of the night. He's like, put them back up on his forehead when for this speech, but still. And he's right. Waking a sleeping person should be punishable by death. It's the worst thing that you can do to someone.
Mm-hmm.
Then Eddie is, as it was foretold, walking Joey to her dorm room door. There's a long look before Eddie holds his right hand out to Joey, and she kind of makes a face putting her left hand in it, but he just twirls her around toward a window seat. Would have been so much funnier if you had been like, I was promised gas money, but he doesn't. Yeah. And the little dance move, not in his character at all. This is really where they start ramping up the cheesy shit they make Oliver Hudson do, and like, I feel bad for him.
Yeah, so do I. For a lot of reasons.
Yeah. Eddie says Joey never told him what her dad was like. She hedges that they can just call her dad the opposite of his. Eddie guesses not solid or a hard worker. Joey says he cheated on her mother a lot and wouldn't do a back-breaking job for 25 years if there was easy money to be made outside the law. Clip 20.
You make him sound like a criminal.
Oh, that's what the district attorneys call him.
All right. Pretty good line.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
Uh-huh. Allegedly.
Right. Eddie says he must have done something right because she turned out so well. Joey fishes. Eddie asks if she thinks her being entombed in these hallowed halls means she has turned out well. And she says, it's a start, isn't it? Clip 21.
I'm going to have to do more work on you than I thought.
I don't know how you mean that, but yes, you are, I would guess.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Joey is fake aghast that he thinks there's something wrong with these hallowed halls. Not if she's there for the right reasons, he says. Joey gives her dad credit for being very encouraging when he was around. Clip 22.
And that dream big little girl, you can be anything you want to be sort of way.
I see. And what is it you want to be, little girl?
Oh, my God.
This little girl would like to be at the end of this season.
I really agree with you very much. Joey doesn't know what she wants to be. She guesses she's a work in progress. And then they give each other the look for a while, eventually kissing. And I would say it's very polite and that Joey ends it first. He kind of leans in for another round and she doesn't move her head. So they just kind of smack into each other in a very perfunctory, dry way. You can see this in the visual aids. But when they pull apart, she just looks happy and he does too. And they just seem so adorably happy parting that it felt like there should be another turn, like Audrey watching them bitterly or Hudson happening to walk by at just that moment for some reason. But that's the show just decided to let them have this one, which is nice, I guess.
Sure.
Let's close it up by naming our episode MVP. I mean, there's just no doubt. In my mind, mm-hmm. It's not no doubt. It's Todd.
Mm-hmm. But honorable mention to Gwen Stefani, who is and remains beautiful and ate a whole bunch of clock. And we salute her and her bandmates.
She did. We didn't talk about what she wears in these scenes, but if you watch this episode, it's very The Tribes, that weird teen show from New Zealand. Look it up and then tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Least valuable player. Joey, figure your shit out. What do you mean you put the tickets in your other coat? Put them in your wallet. Put them somewhere you're not going to forget. Don't be so stupid all the time.
Yeah, when you are stupid all the time, be apologetic.
Yes.
But my LVP is CJ. Bro, get a grip somewhere else.
Yep, I agree.
Next time on Again With This, Natasha's networking resurrects the old Dawson nostril flare. Pacey isn't such a white knight after all, and Joey gets a D in more ways than one, if you know what I mean. And what I mean is that she and Eddie finally fuck, and then she post-coitally oversleeps her Hetson final.
Oh boy.
You won't want to sleep on our visual aids, which we do for every episode of the Again With This podcast. You can find them, along with the full archive of our episodes, on our website, againwiththispodcast.com. District attorneys call me Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is dorky fan Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And we're going to have to do more work on our producer David T. Cole than we thought. Talk to you next time.
You've got a message.
Okay.
Sure.